for me and my family. And I want to give you, if we're on live stream, we have some folks who've joined us. And please, and I'm going to go to this. Pray for Brother David Thompson. His back is bothering him, so he's not able to be with us tonight. If you would, please pray for Brother David. And then Charlie and Karen Seal, if you would pray for them. Sounds like I got really loud there. That's okay. Brother Charlie's surgery, I had some people to contact me and ask me. His surgery was postponed, and so he'll have his surgery next Tuesday. And so please, if you would, continue to pray for Brother Charlie. Sister Karen also had iron infusion today, and she's very weak, not just feeling kind of nausea and nauseated. So if you would, please pray for her. And then we got some good news on Maureen Fisher. Tomorrow, I think she's coming home tomorrow. Saturday. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. Amen. And so I'm sure there's many other requests. Sister Doris, if you have a request, you can get them to Sister Doris. Raise your hand there. Most of you know Sister Doris. If you have a request that you'd like to be on the prayer list, you can get it to Sister Doris. If you have your Bible open to Revelation chapter number 1, before I ask you to stand and we're going to read this chapter together, I'd ask you if you had a pen and maybe something to write on. If you don't, then if you would, just kind of answer in your head and we'll see how you do on the test tonight. Okay? Question number 1. How many books did the Apostle John write? How many books of the Bible did the Apostle John write? Now you answer them in your head. Now, we'll give you an opportunity to answer out loud if you choose to in just a moment. Question number 2, what are they? Just answer in your head. What are those books? Can you name them? Not out loud right now, but if you can write them down or just go through your head. They're these books, okay? Part of that question is, if you'll remember, I gave you some words, and I'll give you a little hint here. I said that John, the key word in John, the Gospel of John, is believe. You remember what I said, the key word in the epistles of John? And the revelation. I just told you some answers if you was listening. Question number 3. What is the threefold blessing of Revelation 1:3? What is the threefold blessing of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3? Someone is asking, is this an open book test? Well, you know, if you want it to be, it will be. Question number 4. What does the word revelation mean? You know what the word revelation means? Question number 5. In Revelation chapter number 1, in verse number 1, there's a phrase that says that must shortly come to pass. What word would best identify that phrase? Imminently or immediately? Imminently meaning anytime, or immediately meaning right now. So in Revelation 1:1, when the scripture says that these things must shortly come to pass, does it mean imminently or immediately? In John's vision in Revelation 1, he saw 7 candlesticks. What are they representative of? What do they represent? The 7 candlesticks that John saw in Jesus' hand, in his vision. What do the 7 candlesticks represent? Question number 7. This will be the last question, then I have a bonus question. The 7 stars in his vision. What are the 7 stars, or what are they representative of? Okay, we've talked about these things. I hope you've been reading Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to read Revelation chapter 2 and 3 over the next couple of weeks as we go through it. Tonight, I'm just going to go right down and do a commentary for you. I'm just going to go right through these verses, we'll kind of leave verses 12 through 16 just to see if we have time. If not, I want to spend a little time there, because that's the vision of the resurrected, glorified Christ, and I want to spend a little time there, the Lord willing. Bonus question. The angel that was given this message to give unto his servant John, he identified himself not by name, but when John fell down to his feet, he told John, don't fall at my feet, for I am what? He said he was something. He said, he identified himself. You remember what that was? In Revelation 22? All right, that's the bonus. Each week I'm going to give you some questions, and then I'm going to give you a bonus question. And it's good to test your knowledge, isn't it? It's good to test your knowledge. All right, let's see how we've done. Question number one, how many books did John write? Somebody raise your hand and tell the church. Yes, Marcus, I seen your hand first. Five books. How many? Is there anyone that doesn't agree with him? I think John wrote five. All right? Somebody raise your hand and tell us what these books are. Sister Mary? That's right. John, or the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the Revelation. All right, now, Mary, I won't put that pressure on you. Who knows? I said that St. John, or the Gospel of John, the key word is believe. You can go through John, just believe, believe, believe. What about those three epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? Anybody remember what I said the key word or phrase was? Believe, be sure. Be sure, right? Believe is in the gospel. Be sure. These things have I written unto you that believe. See, he'd already told them to believe. That you may know that you have eternal life. Be sure, right? Yes. You can know that you're saved. Somebody said, there's only one thing better than being saved, and that's knowing it. Amen. I'm glad I know I'm saved. Amen. All right, so there's believe, be sure. What about the last one? Be ready, right? Be ready. The Revelation, Jesus is getting ready to reveal himself. All right, so be ready. All right, what is the threefold blessing in Revelation 1:3? Who wants to raise your hand and tell us? The threefold blessing. Yes, Sister Tammy, I've seen your hand first. Amen. Read, hear, and keep the Word of God, the book of the Revelation in particular. Read, hear, and keep, right? I find it very interesting of that threefold blessing that in verse number 3, you can look at it in chapter 1, it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear. So I believe that a person that will teach it or read it, it can be either way. And they that will bring themselves under to hear it. It's plural, they. I think the he is singular. But all that, whether you're reading it or whether you're hearing it, if you'll keep it, right? If you'll keep it, then there's an extra blessing for you. I believe that with all of my heart. By the way, if you look in chapter 1, verse 3, that word blessed, seven times the Bible in the book of the Revelation says, you want a blessing? Do this. You ought to go through and check it out. Seven times. It's called some people call it the seven Beatitudes of the Revelation. There's seven blessings that God says he'll give you if you'll do what this book right here, the book of the Revelation, says. God's just looking to bless his people. All right, number 4. What does the word revelation mean? Who wants to raise your hand and tell us? Yes, Sister Lisa. Unveiling. Right, unveiling, uncovering, revealing, but unveiling, I think, is the best. Unveiling. Good. The phrase in verse number 1 of chapter 1 must shortly come to pass. Imminently or immediately? Somebody raise your hand. Tell us. Yes, Sister Tiana. Imminent. At any time Jesus could come. Had it been immediately, well, he would have already come. He would have come when John wrote it. So That's good. You don't get those words confused. Some people think imminently means immediately, and it doesn't. And because of that, well, there's some doctrinal confusion about the second coming of Christ, and there need not to be. Okay, number six. What are the seven candlesticks in chapter 1 that John saw in his vision that Jesus was holding in his hand? What are they representative of? Anybody, raise your hand. Let's get somebody a hat and answer. Okay, Brother Brian. The seven churches. The seven churches. Good. And we'll talk about those seven churches. Now, we're not going to go in detail with them. I've preached here at the church in detail on these seven churches. I believe these seven churches actually existed and had ministry in the area. And I'm very encouraged that Jesus knew everything that was going on in those churches. Can I tell you, Jesus knows everything that's going on in this church too. He does. I'm glad that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. All things are naked, open and naked unto Him in whom we have to do. Jesus sees what we're doing. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. All right. The seven stars. What are the seven stars representative of? Somebody raise your hand. Brother Dan? The angels, the messengers. I don't think it'd be doing a dishonor to the Scripture to say the under-shepherds of the churches. And I'm glad that, and I mean this with the spirit of humility, I'm glad when people pray for me. I'm thankful for that. But you know, even when people don't pray for you, we have a great high priest who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. And I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad that Jesus prays for us, aren't you? Praise the Lord for that. Bonus question. Who did the angel identify himself as? When John fell down at his feet, he said, get up. He said, don't fall down before me. He said, you worship God. We've got a couple raising their hand that's answered questions. Is there someone that has not answered a question? All right, James. His fellow servant. He said, I'm your fellow servant, one of the prophets, he said. I think that's verse 9, I think so, chapter 22. Well, good. How'd you do? Did you do good? I hope you did. These are questions that you need to know if you're going to have a good understanding, and that's what I'm trying to do is lay a little groundwork so that when we get over into some things, it's a little deeper, you know, takes us a little further into the Scripture, a little deeper as far as the understanding, then we have a good foundation. We can stay true to biblical understanding, and then we can make practical application. All right, so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet now, and we're going to read the entire first chapter, and then I just want to point some things out. I'll give you some things as I point them out. I want to give you kind of an outline. I'll give you four words that we're going to build some truths around tonight, okay? I like to do that. I like to take words and just build truth around those words. Words that I think would be very, I think they're right in the Scripture here. So you follow along as I read, and I'll try to read clearly and slowly so that we can read with understanding. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Man, it's hard to read that without
just praising the Lord, amen. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. Isn't that just like our Lord, amen? Just reached over and comforted him with a touch. That's just like the Lord. He just kind of reached over and comforted John, like, it's going to be all right, John. I think about how John laid his head on the Lord's bosom at the Last Supper. Now here's the Lord laying his hand on John. He's just saying, it's going to be all right. Amen. I'm glad when God does that for you. I'm glad when God does that for me. I'm here to tell you, brethren, Jesus will do that for you. He will. I'm thankful for that. Well, he reached out his, the scripture says, his right hand, and put it upon John, and he said unto John, he said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's pray together. Father, bless the reading and the preaching of your word to our hearts. God, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Oh, how we're thankful we have a Savior. Help us to honor our Savior with our lives in all that we do and in all that we say. I pray that Jesus would be magnified and exalted through the ministry of this local body of believers, for he is worthy of all of our praise. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. All right, I'm just going to kind of go down here and tell you some things that the Lord's laid on my heart. Okay? I'm going to pick up with verse number 3, when the scripture says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You may remember we talked about that this book is it's a book of prophecy. It's a prophetic book, and it has prophecy, but it also has symbolism. So it's prophetic, but it's also symbolic. He had mentioned back in verse number 1, he said he sent and signified. In other words, John saw a vision, and as he seen these visions,
God showed him symbols, and when he's seen symbols, he actually mentions one of those symbols in verse number 12. If you look at verse number 12, he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. That's not the verse I'm looking for. Verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, and here it is, as of a trumpet. He didn't say I heard a trumpet. He said I heard the voice as of a trumpet. And so that's a symbol. That's symbolic language. And so it's okay when you're reading through the book of the Revelation, if you're cued in to a symbol, to know that that's a symbol, and not to just say, well, you know what? This is some kind of hocus pocus here. John's got trumpets talking with him. That's not it at all. John didn't say a trumpet was talking with me. He said, I heard a voice that was as of a trumpet talking with me, right? And so it's prophetic, but it's also symbolic. That word keep, I just want to say a word about that word keep in verse number 3 as we go back there. He said that they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. That word keep means attentively. Give attention. Now I want you to listen to me. As we go through the book of the Revelation, I want you to be very aware. That's what this is saying. Stay aware of what's going on in world events, in current events. Stay aware. God is in control. God is at the helm. God is moving things, brethren. Things do not move without God's approval. All things are in the plan of God. And John said here, he said, when you read this prophecy, he said, when you hear this prophecy, he said, pay very close attention. Keep close to your mind. Keep close to the forefront of your mind. Keep attentively, observantly. Keep with a watchful eye. When you read this book, when you hear this book, with a watchful eye, watch as God unfolds these truths. Why? He said, it'll be a blessing to you. Amen? It will be a blessing to you. And so he said, keep those things which are written therein. And then he said, for the time is at hand. In other words, he said, don't just think in your mind now. Don't think, well, all of these things are way off. He said, no. They're relevant right now. Right now. This book is relevant tonight. Right? So when you read the book of the Revelation, don't think, well, you know, if I read that book, it's going to talk about things that's going to happen 1,000 years from now. And it is. The millennial kingdom. It's going to talk about things that's going to happen beyond 1,000 years from now. The age of ages. Eternity. But it's going to talk about things that happen today. See, relevant. The time is at hand. And so when you're reading the book, don't just think, now I'm reading about something that's going to be happening a long time from now that's not even relevant to me. Oh, it's very relevant. It's very relevant. There's things happening all around us that God's going to bring to light. That's why John said in verse number 3, right before he said the time is at hand, he said, keep with a watchful eye. Be observant. Be attentive to what God is doing. Why? He said, it'll be a blessing to you. While the world is coming unraveled and falling apart, you'll lay your head on your pillow saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. You'll know how this thing's going to unfold and how it's going to come to an end. Why? Because you know what the book says. And the book's always right. Yes. Amen. Verse number 4, John says this. He says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, he said, grace be unto you. I find that very interesting. Here's a book that's about judgment. You know, it's about the wrath of God. In Revelation 6, verse 17, the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? It's called in Jeremiah chapter 30, and verse number 7, the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, a time that Jesus said is unlike any other time on this earth's coming. And yet he said, grace unto you. Grace. But not just to everyone. Notice who grace is to now. Verse numbers 4. Churches. Those that are saved. By the way, anybody ever tell you, well, you know, I believe in a universal church. Well, John didn't. He said, I'm going to write to the local church. If you believe in a universal church, there's no way in verse number 4 that John could be writing to 7 of them. Amen. By the way, Jesus addressed 7 of them in chapters 2 and 3. So I think he was a local church believer too. That's right. And so I just thought I'd add that in. The grace unto you, he said. Grace, though there's going to be judgment, though I'm going to exercise my wrath on Israel and on the nations, he said the church is going to be protected. And aren't you glad for that, brethren? Aren't you glad for that? Don't let anyone tell you now, oh, we're going through the tribulation. I'm going to have to ask you to bring me some scripture. Because I got plenty that says that God's going to take us out of here before then. Look at verse number 4. Peace. Peace. There's war all in this book. And yet to the church he says, peace unto you. There's war on earth. There's even war in heaven in the book of the Revelation. Read chapter 12. That's right. I don't mean the third heaven. I mean the heaven, the second heaven, in the atmosphere. Satan, the old dragon with his tail, draws a third of the stars, fallen angels. It's right here in this book. And so he says, I want you to experience peace even when there's war all around you. And brethren, I'm here to tell you, you can. You can. And he said, I'm saying grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And I believe that to be God the Father. Amen. The Ancient of Days always has been, is, and always will be. From everlasting to everlasting. Amen. And he said, not only that, here's a very interesting thing. And from the seven spirits, which are before his throne. He said, well, how many spirits are they? Well, I believe there's only one Holy Spirit. Could mean the completeness of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I know Isaiah 11, you might want to write this verse down. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2, talks about the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Many people believe that's what it's referring to. I can't say. I just know that there's not seven Holy Spirits. I know what it's not. Sometimes, listen, I've learned when it comes to Bible interpretation, I want you to listen to me. When it comes to Bible interpretation, when you're unsure of something, just go what you're sure of. You say, well, I'm unsure what the seven spirits are. Well, what are you sure of? I'm sure there's not seven spirits. Amen. Because the Bible teaches there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, not God the Holy Spirits. And so this seven, I believe that could be speaking about the completeness or the perfection of the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the agent that carries out the will of God to man, the Holy Spirit. It could mean the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. And again, write that verse down, Isaiah 11, verse number 2. And so we have the Trinity here. We have God the Father in verse number 4. He which was and which is and which is to come. And then the Spirit of God. And then verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ. There's the Son of God. And then we have his threefold office, who is a faithful witness. And that's the prophet. What a great teacher, the Lord Jesus, while he was here upon the earth. What a great teacher to sit under. And then the Bible says, the first begotten of the dead. And I'm glad that he is alive and alive forevermore. And he ever liveth to make intercession. That speaks of his priesthood. Okay? And so the faithful witness speaks of his being a prophet. The first begotten of the dead speaks of his priest, the priesthood, the office of priest. And then the prince of the kings of the earth speaks of his, he's a king. So our Lord Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. Amen. And to him that loved us, the latter part of verse 5 says, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The thing that always sticks out to me in that verse of scripture is that he loved us when we were dirty. Did you get that? It didn't say that he washed us and then loved us. Look at it carefully. He loved us and then he washed us. That's on purpose, brethren. Because God wants you to know that before you ever thought about getting clean, before you ever thought about asking him to clean you, he loved you. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I'm glad for that. And to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, that just means he and he alone was the one who made you clean. It wasn't you and him. It wasn't him and someone else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone has cleansed you of your sin and me of mine. And he says, and hath made us. I'm glad he didn't just save us. He's made us something. See, there's pardon in that
in that phrase, unto him that loved us, in verse number 5. But then there's purpose. He's made us something, brethren. He's made us something. He's given us purpose in life. He's made us kings and priests, the scripture says in verse number 5. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And it's to him, he says, to be glory and dominion forever and ever. And John said, amen. I want to say amen with John, don't you? Amen. So what are we getting into here? Well, so far we've just been talking. I want to give you a word here. This is just a salutation. John's just saying hello, right? He's just saying hello. Let me just kind of tell you this conversation that me and God and Jesus had, and I'm just writing down some things that the angel gave, and I'm just writing them down. And he said, I'm telling you some things I know about him. And then all of a sudden, it's almost like out of nowhere. I mean, it's just John's just telling you how wonderful Jesus is. And then look at verse number 7. I mean, verse number 7, he says, behold! I mean, it's just, you know, he's just talking, just kind of making small talk almost. And I don't mean that irreverently. He's just saying, you know, hey, you know, God gave this to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to his servant, and his servant to an angel, and his angel to me, right? And then he says this. He's making these statements. And then out of nowhere, he says in verse number 7, behold, he cometh with clouds. It's like John said, he got a glimpse. It's like he was looking, and he looked and he said, wow, Jesus is coming. He said he was. He said he was coming, brethren. He told the disciples that. He said, I'm going. He said, but I'm coming back. Didn't he say that? If I go, I will come again. I'm coming back. And it's like John just hit him, and I believe he might even had a vision. He said, behold, he cometh, look at it, with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Boy, that took a turn real quick. That's right. You crucified the Prince of Glory. You're going to see him again. You didn't get rid of him. He's coming back. And this time, it's going to be a different message. Notice what the scripture says. It says, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I don't know that our minds can fully comprehend the wrath of God. We live in such a soft society. I don't know that we really understand the holiness of God. We're so bent on the love of God. And listen, brethren, you won't meet a preacher that wants to preach the love of God more than this preacher. However, we have to stay balanced. God is a God of love, and I'm thankful that he is. But God is a God of light, too. And in him is no darkness at all. God is absolute perfection. He is holy. And can I tell you, he demands holiness. Now, I'm glad he loves us when we're dirty and sinful and unholy. Amen. But over and over again, God says, you be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's right. We are to perfect, 2 Corinthians 7:1, holiness in the fear of God. Titus chapter 2 says we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so God expects us to live holy because he's holy, and we're his children, and we are a reflection of who he is. We are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. And so Jesus is coming. And brethren, I got to tell you, it's going to be the wrath of God is just, I can't wrap my mind around it. It's going to be an awesome, a terrible thing for people to fall in the wrath of God. They're going to run and have nowhere to hide. We'll get to that in the latter part of chapter 6 and in other passages of Scripture in the book of the Revelation. They'll flee, even the people of Israel will flee to the rocks of Petra, and there'll be nowhere to hide. Nowhere. And so while people mock God today and scoff, one day God's going to laugh at their derision. You say, oh, preacher,
God wouldn't do that, would he? Well, sure he would. The Bible says he will. It's not going to be good, okay? And that's why we need to get people saved. Folks don't even realize. I live, listen, my whole childhood and most of my teenage years, not even realize the impending doom that was hanging over my head. I think it was Jonathan Edwards who said, talked about swinging over hell on a spider web, just a thin string. At any moment, brethren, could have broken and I could have plunged into a Christless eternity in hell forever. You could have too. You could have too. And there's others out there that are. They are. They're swinging over hell. At any moment, they could go out in eternity without God. And we need to tell them. We need to tell them. And so he said, Jesus is coming back. Let me hasten on. I'm going to get to a couple of other things here. So now I want to go from, he said in verse number 8, he assured John again. I like what Jesus does here. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, saith the Lord. And then he said, I'm and my Father are one. Remember who back in the latter part of verse number 4, when John was saying grace and peace to you from, and he talked about God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. Notice Jesus said, which is and which was and which is to come. That is exactly who God is, because Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen. Only the spirit of Antichrist would deny that. John said that in one of his epistles, didn't he? Yeah. And so he said, I'm the Almighty. We go from the salutation to the setting. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. John was one of the 12 chosen disciples. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos is an island about 10 miles by 6 miles. It's right off the shore of Ephesus, the Asian Sea. And he said he was exiled there. A lot of persecution going on when John wrote this book. This book is estimated to have been written around 95 A.D., okay? John, probably an old man at this time. Some of you are thinking, how old is old, preacher? Well, I believe John was up in his 90s. I do. I can't prove that, but time-wise, I could get close. And not because he stole from someone. I want you to listen very carefully to me. Not because John was a thief or a thug. Not because John was a murderer or a malefactor, a robber. Not because he abused people, but because, let's let the scripture tell us in verse number 9, look at the latter part, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I just want to live for God. I just want to testify of Jesus. And he suffered great persecution for it. He was imprisoned on an island, and church history tells us that he actually eventually was martyred there. He was boiled alive to death in a hot cauldron of oil. Why? Being a Christian. Say, well, preacher, you think we'll ever have to go through that? I don't know. I know there's people today in our world that do. Now, right here in America, we are not experiencing that kind of persecution yet. But John made it very clear, and I'm giving you the setting, okay? We talked about the salutation. Here's the setting. John said, I'm being persecuted. I'm imprisoned, all right? And he said, I've been exiled to this island. And instead of John just moping, and so I want you to get something here, okay? You're going to suffer some persecution. You're going to be exiled in a way. You're going to be kind of put off, and people's not going to want to spend time around you, and you might lose some things in this old world. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was very close to John here. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 9. He said, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation. He said, I want you to know that I'm thinking of you as you go through tribulation. I'm going through tribulation, and I'm thinking of you, and God is speaking to me so that I can speak to you. And so when churches, when we as Christians go through tribulation and we go through trials, we come together. We don't attack one another and accuse one another. We pray for one another, right? You pray for one another. You support one another. You help one another. That's what he's saying. He said, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. You got to persevere sometimes, right? Listen to me, brethren. It's not all a cakewalk. This thing of serving God is not all just a bed of roses and smooth sailing. There's hard places in life. There's hard places. There's tough times. But know this. If you'll stay near to God, you'll hear God. And that's exactly what John says here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard. In the Spirit. I believe he's saying, I was in that close communion. I was, that's a large S there. I was in the Spirit. I was in close communion. I was walking in fellowship with the Lord. And I heard him speak. Amen. You want to hear? You got to be near. That's right. You want to hear God speak? You've got to stay close by his side. Listen, God can speak and rumble a mountain if he chooses to. But it's the still small voice that God wants to speak to you and I. God wants us to stay close so he can reveal the deep things of the Lord, the secret things of God. David said in Psalm 25, will God reveal to those who walk by his side? And so here's what John said. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, I think I'm going to close right here. I think my time's up. I just feel it. So we talked about the salutation, okay? And we talked about the setting. I want to close with this. I'm going to skip the subject of this first chapter, and that's Jesus, okay? When John turned in verse number 12, he heard a voice, but then he saw something. There's three things that happened to John that I want you to underline in your Bible, okay? Look at verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I cannot say that without saying this. You want to hear God speak to you? You come in the Spirit this Lord's day. Are you listening? You say, how you do that, preacher? Well, you confess your sin and you tell God, God, I want to hear from heaven today. Could you imagine what would happen in our churches if people just came in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Amen. Now, we could debate on, was this Lord's day? Is this talking about the day of the Lord? Or is this talking about the literal Lord's day? Well, I don't think it, I think it could be either one, but I really believe it's the Lord's day. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. That first day of the week. I'm still worshiping God here, though I'm in tribulation. That's right. I'm being persecuted. I've been in prison, but it hasn't caused me to stop worshiping God. And don't you let it stop you from worshiping God either. You worship God. Doesn't matter what takes place in your life. We are to worship God. It's for our benefit. It's going to strengthen us. So he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then in verse number 10, it says, and heard. I want you to underline that. This is what John heard. And we'll talk about this next week. Then he said in verse number 12, he said, I saw. So John heard something in verse number 10. And then we see what John heard, and now we see what John saw in verse number 12. Now, if you would, look at verse number 17. And when I saw him, I fell. This is what John did. So we see what John heard in verse number 10. And then we saw in verse number 12, we saw what John saw. And then in verse number 17, we see what John did. He fell. He fell at his feet as a dead man. You know why? Because he was overwhelmed with the presence of God. Now, I'm going to say something here. Some of you are going to leave here thinking, well, the preacher, he's kook. Well, you say, that doesn't bother me. I've been called much worse than that, okay? And I probably am a little bit of that, the kook part. But that's okay. That's all right. I'm not near the kook I used to be before Jesus straightened me out. Amen.
I've been in the presence of God to where I would get on my face. I long for this day again. Some of you is going to know what I'm talking about. Some of you not. I'm not. This is not boasting or anything. It's all of God. God does it. You can't even look up. Okay? You can't even look up. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I mean, just the presence of God so floods the environment that you can't even lift your head up. You don't even want to look up. You're so ashamed. The presence of God is just real. This is what happens to John right here in verse number 17. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Could you imagine how it would change some folks at Fellowship Baptist Church if they had a real encounter with God like that? And I'm not talking about going out seeking experiences, brethren. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reality. Reality. But I want you to notice that it doesn't start with, I fail. That's the way it finishes. It starts with, I heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes with the word. You've got to stay in the word. And then he saw, right? Look at it in verse number. He said, I saw. What did you see? Seven golden candlesticks. The churches. The work of God. So you got to hear the word of God. And then you got to get involved in the work of God. And when you really see this is God's work, then there will be worship of God. Okay? That's the way it goes. It doesn't go the other way around. Well, I'm going to worship, and then I'm going to get involved in his word and get involved in his work. No, that's not the way it goes. It goes word, work, worship. That's the way it goes. All right. I want to close with this, and I'll be done. I want you to look at verse 19, and I'm going to just give you the structure, and this is where we'll pick up next week, and then we'll also look at the subject of the chapter, and that's Jesus himself. Here's what this book is about. I hope you don't miss this. Verse number 19, and I don't know that this is so. I haven't really checked, so I don't know. I've looked at some, but I haven't looked at all of them. Someone has said that the book of the Revelation is the only book in all the Bible that has a natural outline to it. I don't know that that's so. I don't know that it is. I do believe this is a natural outline. So here's what Jesus tells John that the outline of the book is. Notice what he said in verse number 19. He said, write the things which thou hast seen. Well, we're going to look at what John saw in this chapter, chapter 1. He saw Jesus. He saw the glorified Christ. He saw an image, as it were, the Son of God. And we'll talk about that. Okay? So he said, I want you to write down that. I want people to know some things about me that maybe they don't know. Can I ask you a question before we move on? How well do you know Jesus? What do you know about Jesus? So, well, I know he saved me. That's great. But there's a lot more to know about Jesus than that. And so we're going to learn some things about him in verses 12 through 16 in chapter 1. So he said, I want you to write the things which thou hast seen. Remember what he said? I turned and I saw. We're going to see what he saw. And John, well, he did write it down just like Jesus told him to. And then look at verse 19. He said, not only do I want you to write the things which thou hast seen, he said, I want you to write the things which are. Well, that's present tense, right now. And I believe that's chapter 2 and 3. I believe that's the church age. Okay? So, he saw God. Amen. And then he seen grace. The grace dispensation. That's what the church age is called. The dispensation of grace. And then he said in chapter number 1, verse number 19, he said, I want you to write the things which shall be hereafter. And that's where we'll close tonight. That's talking about the future events, or as someone has said, God's government. So he saw God in chapter 1. He saw grace, or the grace age, or the grace dispensation in chapter 2 and 3. And then he saw God's government as God governs in the affair of Israel and the nations. I will say that in chapter 4, verse number 1, it picks up with that third part. Look what he said in chapter 4, verse 1. Remember what he told him to write, the things which shall be hereafter? He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven,
And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. There's that voice again. Right? And we know that's the voice of Jesus. And here's what the voice said. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Is that the way verse 19 ends? So we're getting into some future events here. Okay? All right. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. So we looked at the salutation. We looked at the setting. We didn't look at the subject. We're going to look at the subject some next week. And that is Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not of John. It's not even the revelation of last things. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the subject. And then we looked at the structure, right? The structure of the book. Write the things which thou hast seen. That's past tense. The things which are. That's present tense. And the things which shall be hereafter. That's future tense. Let's pray together.